time.
Okay. Good evening. We're here tonight to call it a celebration, incredible as it sounds, to celebrate the 19th yahrzeit of Shlomo Zalman Ben Yontif Lipa. Why is it a celebration? Why are we here eating? The Talmud says when a righteous person passes away, it's a wedding. Isn't that incredible? Halula. In Aramaic, the death of a righteous person is called halula, which means what? A wedding. And isn't it strange, Devorah, that when a person gets married, he wears a white shroud? And when after 120, he wears the same white shroud. Why do you think? Why? A person in this world gets married, he puts on a white shroud. When a person passes away, he gets married. You hear, Devorah? He marries, he unites with the source, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a form of a wedding. So therefore, after 120, the person wears a white shroud, indicating that he's going through a different type of marriage. This time, he's marrying Kaviyochel, he is uniting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's why it's called Hilula in Aramaic, which means a wedding. Tonight, in order to dedicate, to elevate the neshama of Shlomo Zalman and Yom Tov Lipa, I want to touch on why did God choose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Redeemer and the Lawgiver? What makes Moshe so special and unique? If you ask the average person, whom did God send to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt? Yo, what would you say? Moshe. But Micha chapter 5 doesn't agree with you. You look in Micha chapter 5, God tells the prophet, Ki helitichu me'eretz Mitzrayim, u'mibeit avodim k'diticha, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and from the house of slaves I have redeemed you, ve'eshlach lefanecha, and I sent before you as redeemers at Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Here's Mrs. Green. God is an equal opportunity employer. God tells Micha, who are your redeemers? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And we know, Esther, that in Jewish scriptures, Achron, Achron, Chaviv. Last is most precious. We have a concept like that. Why the Jewish people, the last of the nations of the world? Why is Shabbat the last day of the week? Why? Why not the first day? The Jewish people were the last of the 70 nations. Achron, Achron, Chaviv. What God loves the best, he what? Saves for last. So God tells the prophet Micha, Ki elitichu me'eretz Mitzrayim u'beis avodim p'diticha ve'eshlach lefanecha et Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. As far as God is concerned, there were three individuals that redeemed us. Moshe, Aaron, and the last, Achron Chaviv, Miriam. So what makes this family so unique? That they were chosen, these three siblings were chosen to be the redeeming God's agents to redeem the Jewish people. Why dafka these three? To answer this question, of course you have to what? Ask another question. The end of Parshas Shemot, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to God and he says, Lama hariota lama zeh. Why have you done such evil to your people? This is Moshe Rabbeinu talking. If we would say that, they'd throw me out of yeshiva. Right? But Moshe can get away with it. He says, Lama hariota lama zeh. Why have you done such evil to your people, God? Wait a minute, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't you know what your future disciple, Rabbi Kiva, is going to teach? Gamzu l'tova, gamzu l'tova. Kol man di'ovid rachmana l'tavovid. That's Rabbi Kiva's motto, right? Nochum is gamzu, he learned from his Rebbe. If Nochum knew it, and Rabbi Kiva knew that gamzu l'tova, so shouldn't the Ava Nevi'im, the Rebbe of all Rebbe's, shouldn't he know? They all learned from him. How could he say, Lama Ariota Lama Zeh? Why have you done such evil to your people? Yid kasha devora. I'm a bomba kasha. What about gamzu l'tova? Whatever God does is for the best. What's the answer? What are you supposed to say, gamzu l'tova? When lo yaleinu, the tsar is happening to the person himself, you're supposed to say gamzu l'tova. But if I'm okay and another Jew is suffering, then you're not supposed to say gamzu l'tova. Then you're supposed to say lo mariyoto lo mazer. Shavid Levi, we're not in the slime pits, remember. Moshe was okay. I mean, the Levites were not doing the physical slavery. So therefore, when do you say Gamzu L'tova? When the person himself is the tsar, he's supposed to accept Bahava. But if the person is okay and a fellow Yid is suffering, then you don't say Gamzu L'tova. That's exactly why God chose Moshe Rabbeinu. Start with Moshe first. He felt the pain of another Jew. And that's exactly what God is all about. Why did God appear in a thorn bush, not in a cherry tree? What does Rashi say? Imo anochi b'tzara. Huh? What about a pear tree? Why a thorn bush? Rashi says a thorn bush cuts and pricks. God says, I suffer along with my people. I feel their pain. So God chose an individual that has this midah, that can identify and feel the pain of another Jew like God does. Therefore, he chose Moshe Rabbeinu. Lama Rosh Lama Zeh. And this goes back even further. When Bas Paroi finds the baby Moshe in a basket, The Torah says, "Behine nar boche, nar boche." So, what is nar? He was a little baby. Nar means a teenager. Rashi says, "Koiloi kenar." What does that mean, kolo kenar? He's going to be a chazan. He had strong lungs. He had a voice like a teenager. What is Rashi saying over here? Kolo kenar. Kenar, like a teenager, the little baby. What's Rashi's point? What is the difference between a baby crying and a teenager crying? A baby cries when something is wrong with the baby. The baby has no understanding if his mother is suffering or his father is suffering. A baby can only feel his own pain. He has no seichel to feel. So a baby's cry is only for himself. A baby can't relate to another person's suffering. He doesn't have seichel. Baby cries for his own suffering. A teenager already can cry for someone else. He understands. He identifies with his relative suffering. So Rashi says, Koiloi kenar. Even at that tender age, he was crying like a nar. He wasn't just crying for himself, but he felt the pain of others. And therefore, Bas Paro says something strange. He says, Vatoimer miyaldei o'ivrim. Who knows Upan here, 103? She should have said, Batome Yelet Ivri. She says, no, Batome Miyaldei HaIvrim. That's not proper digduk. Right, Elliot? She should have said, Yelet Ivri. What's Miyaldei? Why in the plural? What? But she should have said, Yelet Ivri. That's what she should have said if she went to Upan. The Torah knows Hebrew. Why does she say Miyaldei?
Why not?
She should have said Yelet Ivri. Come on.
Miyaldei HaIvri.
From the Miyaldei. She recognized. It's my turn now. She recognized that he's crying for the Yaldei HaIvri. Here is Aaron. For all those babies that can't cry. The cry that she recognized. She was a very spiritual person, Bas Paroi. You know who she was? Batya. What does Batya mean? The daughter of God. The Talmud says she's one of the people that went to Gan Eden alive. It's a very spiritual person. Can you imagine Stalin's daughter? I mean, it's amazing. Batya Bas Paro. Who was Paro? She said, Miyaldei HaIvrim, in his cry, the voice of a nar. He's crying for all the Yaldei HaIvrim that cannot cry. She felt, she understood that pain, that agonizing cry. And therefore, God chose Moshe Rabbeinu because he had this midah where he's able to feel and identify the pain of other Jews. And that's exactly what God's message was, Manny, in the burning bush. Imo yonochi batzara. Eya ashe eya. I am that I am, says Rashi. What does that mean? I am with them in this suffering, and I will be with them in the Warsaw Ghetto or the Auschwitz as well. When a Jew suffers, I suffer along with him. That was the message at the burning bush. So God was looking for an individual like that, and that's why he chose, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he choose Aaron? Remember, the prophet Micha said that God chose all three siblings to be the Redeemer. So why did he choose Aaron? Where do we see this midah of identifying with someone else's pain by Aaron? Where do we see that? It says, Shemois, God told Moshe and Aaron to go to the Zakenim. To go to the Zakenim, and together they should all go to Paroi with the message of freedom. The Torah says, "Va'acha bo Moshe v'Aaron." Who came to the palace? Moshe v'Aaron. So Rashi says, "Aval azikenim." What happened to the elders? They were following behind. Says Rashi, "Nishbetu echad echad mi'acha Moshe v'Aaron." As they got closer to the palace, what happened? They chickened out one at a time. The Zakenim just peeled off. Until each and every one of the Zakenim, they chickened out. They backed off. Before they reached the palace, Moshe and Aaron looked behind, and guess what, Evelyn? There's no one behind them. The Zakenim, where did they go? Nefisha Rola Lechat, they were afraid to go. So Moshe Aaron went when they finished, and no one behind them. Ubi Sinai Nifralahem. Where did God pay them back? At Sinai. Rashi said that the Zakenim would not have slipped away one by one. Who would have brought down the Ten Commandments from heaven, Aaron? Who? Moshe, Aaron, and the Zakenim. That's what Rashi says. 1 minute. It says, V'nigash Moshe Levado. The Torah says, V'nigash Moshe Levado. V'heim lo yugoshu. You guys backed off. God says, when I needed you to go to Pharaoh, now you're going to back off, and you're not going to go up to heaven to get the Torah. And therefore, V'nigash Moshe Levado. V'heim lo yugoshu.
Rabbi?
Rachel, what? Oh, beautiful. Who asked that kasha? Who? Rachel, right? Beautiful. What about Aaron? Behem lo yugoshu. Wait, he didn't chicken out. He didn't back out. So, according to Rashi's logic, he should have been up there with Moshe Rabbeinu to get the Torah. Because Rashi said if the Canaan wouldn't have backed off, they would have gone up to heaven to get the Torah. Aaron didn't back off. So how come the Torah says the Moshe nigash levado?
Rabbi, can I add to your question, make it stronger?
Go ahead.
Okay. The opposite. Aaron, of all people, should have been given the reward more so than even Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu, really, what choice did he have to go to Pharaoh? Here, God spoke to him out of the burning bush.
Right.
Okay. Aaron, what was he doing there at all? Who spoke to him? Did God speak face to face?
Yes, God, the Torah says that Aaron also got the message. Aaron was a Navi. How did he know to go meet his brother there?
Right.
God told Aaron, go meet your brother at Har Elohim, right?
Yeah, but did he speak to him in such a glorious way?
Not in the same way, but he spoke to him.
Okay.
So Rochel's kasha is a great kasha. Minigash Moshe Levado. So what about Aaron? So the Medrash says something incredible. He's sitting down. And this is exactly why God chose Aaron. Aaron was supposed to go up with Moshe Rabbeinu to get the Torah. Both of them. But the Medrash says, "Kedei lahaktin elbon shel zekeinim." You hear this? "Kedei lahaktin elbon shel zekeinim." He volunteered to stay behind. Eizeh busha, can you imagine? If Moshe and Aaron would have gone up to get the Torah, and these guys, you know. So he voluntarily stayed behind to diminish their shame. Oh, it's only Moshe. Nobody can be like Moshe. So in order to what? Minimize the humiliation of the Zekanim, he volunteered to stay behind and didn't tell them. He said, no, God only chose Moshe. No one's in his league. That's how he felt the shame of another Jew, to diminish that shame and humiliation. He stayed behind. And that's exactly why God chose him. Again, to feel the shame or the pain, the suffering of another Jew, that to voluntarily give up the privilege to go to Shemayim to bring down the Luchot, I'm going to give that up to spare my fellow Yidden additional shame and humiliation. Therefore, God says, you're my man.
That makes him worthy to be the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur.
That's right.
The Avodah. Who better to represent us in our hour of pain? The man
exactly.
who knows how to, knows
exactly.
that.
That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Right.
Please, this is my show. Your turn will be later. This is my turn now, okay? Now it's my show. My turn. Okay? So now we're down to whom?
Miriam.
We're down to Miriam. Miriam HaNeviah. The great prophet Miriam. The prophetess. So for Tadabe Miriam, Miriam spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. How could it be? Rashi said, she raised him like a mother, Rashi says. She saved his life at the bushes over there. How could she come to speak Lashon Hara against
him?
Rashi says something amazing. Zipporah came crying to her. You know, your brother divorced me. Rashi said he divorced her. Wife and two children. What did I do to... Did she divorce me? She felt the pain of Zipporah. Ad kedei kach, that she just couldn't hold it in anymore. She felt the pain of her ex-sister-in-law. It had eaten her up. Rashi says this. And therefore she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. Whether right or not, but she identified so much with the suffering of Zipporah, and exactly why God chose her. All three siblings demonstrated this degree of identification of the suffering of another Jew. But Zabe Miriam, she spoke, says Rashi, because Zipporah came crying to her, your brother divorced me. So, you hear this? What? Yeah, but ain't Mugdal Muchabatara, but you can't ask me that question. Ain't Mugdal Muchabatara, she had this midah. And this midah, but she stood by the bushes watching him, right? Babysitting for him. Ain't Mugdal Muchabatara. But that midah, God knows, Rachel, you can't ask me that, because to God, past, present, and future is all the same. See, by us, there's a difference.
When you say
past, present, and future. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, past, present, and future is all the same. That's why Ein Mugdal Muchabatara. So therefore, God chose, she spoke of a most, what she said, the Torah doesn't say exactly, she said, well, she told to Aaron, does God only speak to Moshe? God speaks to us and we don't divorce our spouses. This is exactly what the Torah says. That's what she said. God speaks to us as well. We're also Nevi'im and we don't break up a happy family. Why did he do that? I feel the pain of Zipporah and the children. Gershom and Eliezer come from a broken home. She felt the pain and she couldn't be silent. Fashtei, Fashtandin. Why Moshe divorced her? So the Talmud says Al Pi Adibur, whatever Al Pi Adibur. It's not so simple. God would never tell him to do it, but once he did it, Hiskin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yodo.
He had to be at a Hashem's call all the time.
Right.
So he couldn't be Tamei at any time.
Right. Okay, now, the Moshe was in a separate category. The problem was they underestimated him. But it came from feeling the tsar of Zipporah and the children. Moshe is the Yotze Min HaKlal. Other Nevi'im are not allowed to divorce their spouses, no. The first mitzvah in the Torah is to get married. Moshe Rabbeinu, like Manny said, Yotze Min HaKlal, because he was on duty 24-7. But no other Novi ever again like that. First mitzvah in the Torah. But they're speaking about Moshe was, it came because they felt the pain of Tzipporah and Gershom and Eliezer. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu chose them.
And for this she gets a severe punishment. For this pain...
She got a punishment,
side,
you're right.
On the one side, you're
right.
Praising her for all
right.
This worthiness. On the other side, she's
right.
Been 7
but
days
don't
outside
you, but
the
But don't you see it throughout? It's always like that. This is the paradox, right?
A huge paradox.
It's a paradox.
Not a small one, a
right.
Huge one.
It's a paradox.
Because she's punished
right.
For 7 days,
right.
Sent out of the camp for 7 days.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, but his went away immediately, instantly.
You're right. You're right.
Such a big tzedakah since
that's
right. Outside the camp.
Right?
That's a paradox. It's a paradox.
You're right, it's a paradox. Why? That's another interpretation. We're talking about Rashi's interpretation. I'm going with Rashi's interpretation.
The example that said is Judaism is a paradox. That's the example.
It is a paradox. Why do the righteous suffer? Right?
Right.
It's a paradox. She was punished. But on the other hand, because she had this midah, she was chosen. Maybe she expressed it in an improper way, but she had this feeling, this hargasha for the zulat. In this, perhaps in this way, she didn't express it properly, but the hargasha, the feeling for the zulat, that's what made her, in Micha says, one of the three redeemers.
I suppose it's as you have told us many times. The road to hell is paved with good intention.
Right. Yeah.
She had the good intention.
She had a good intention.
But she drove herself to hell.
She just suffered for 7 days and then that's
suffered
it.
Leprosy.
She's rehabilitated,
for 7 days.
Right?
So,
only just.
Moshe Rabbeinu also became a leper. His hand became
long,
a leper.
How long?
Moshe Rabbeinu also.
You know, great people will be finished harder because they know it.
Right. How come Yaakov suffered so much? Yaakov's the Bechir Shevavos, and he suffered more than anybody else. And David HaMelech and Yaakov Avinu. All the tzaddikim suffer.
Why? Why did Moshe get leper on the hand?
Because he spoke again. He said the Jews won't listen. The Jews won't listen. He said the Jews won't listen. So God told him, you are... He got it on his hand. Moshe got it on his hand. Yes.
Of course.
Right. Beautiful. Devorah just reminded me of the Gemara in Sotah. Remember the Gemara in Sotah? When Amram divorced Yocheved, what did little Miriam say? Amram divorced Yocheved, what did little Miriam say?
No.
Don't mix me up, please. What did Miriam say? Daddy, your decree is worse than Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh only decreed what? On the baby boys. By separating from mommy, you are preventing the girls from being born. So Deborah just reminded me. She felt the pain of her mother. She felt the pain of her mother. Huh? And because of her, Amram remarried Yocheved. And the Moshe Rabbeinu was born. If it wasn't for little Yocheved's rebuke of her father,
little Miriam,
right, of her father, Moshe would not have been born. But again, she felt the pain of her mother, divorced her mother, and she spoke up in a respectful way. She spoke up, and Avram remarried her, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So here we see again how Miriam felt the pain of her sister-in-law or of her mother, and she spoke up. Now, the name Amram and Yocheved, what's in the name? That's why it's very important to go by your Hebrew name. Amram and Yocheved. Why was this mishpacha chosen to give birth to the three? Can you imagine such nachas such naches, three kinder, and each one, it becomes a redeemer. And according to Micha, they're in the same boat. God doesn't discriminate. Right? Why would they zoyche to have such three outstanding children? You ever wonder? Kowinky dinky? What does Amram mean? Amram, exalted nation. What kind of exalted nation? You're in the slime pits of Egypt. Your babies are being thrown into the river. Amram, you're an exalted nation. To be a slave in Egypt is the lowest of the low. And you could call yourself Amram? What's our exalted nation? You're dirt. The Nazis spit on you. You're Amram? You're Yocheved. What does Yocheved mean? All glory to God. You're Yocheved. Covet belongs to God. Covet belongs to God. To be degraded and persecuted for 210 years? Yes, you're Yocheved. Amram. Elliot, we have a bris ben haptarim. Despite all the suffering and all the pain, yes, Amram, I'm an exalted nation. Yocheved, glory to God. Because we have a promise, a bris ben haptarim. We have a promise that God suffers along with his people. Eyeh asher eyeh, eyeh b'tzor hazeh, and eyeh b'chol hatzorot. 1 second. This is the message of the burning bush. Strange. God comes to Moshe. He says, I'm going to redeem the Jewish people. So Moshe says, Mashimo. Isn't that a strange question, Mashimo? What's the difference what his name is? It's your ticket out of here. I'll take it. Does it matter, Mashimo? Why should the Jews ask Mashimo? Why should they ask, what's the difference? Who's going to take you out? You're on the slime pits and have a promise of freedom. Does it matter who it is, Aaron? Why Mashimo? But we said in Hebrew, a name in Hebrew identifies the tafkid. He said, Alhei Avoteichem, the God who loves you. Well, if he loves me so much, where has he been for 210 years? Mashimo, a name. What's his tafkid? The name is a tafkid. What's his purpose in making us suffer like that? That's a legitimate question that Moshe anticipates he isn't going to ask. You hear this, Devorah? Mashimo, a name means tafkid. What is God's tafkid? If he is Elohei Avoteichem, where was he for 210 years? Legitimate question. So God answers, okay, Eyeh asher eyeh. I am with them in this suffering, and I'll be with them in Auschwitz. This is what God answers, according to Rashi. I feel their pain, and always will feel their pain. So Moshe says, well, the Jews are going to say, God, do us both a favor and get us out of here. Why are you doing this to yourself? But you're the old Elohim, it says in the text. God said more, because Moshe said, so why are you allowing yourself to suffer? So what's Vayom Ha'od Elohim? Zeh Shmi La'olam. Rashi says the word Olam is written Chaser Vav. The word Olam without a Vav spells Aleim. Zeh Shmi La'aleim. Aleim means concealed. Shmi La'aleim. Shmi means the tafkid. The reason why we have to suffer, because God says I suffer with you, La'aleim. The word Olam, but out above is Aleim. Aleim means concealed, right? Concealed. It's a mystery. It's a nistar. But it's have to suffice for you. The consolation is that whenever a Jew suffers, God is right there suffering along with him. That's the promise we got at the burning bush. Why he's doing this? Shmi, the mission, the tafkid, la'alim. That has to remain concealed. It's like trying to describe sunrise and sunset to a person born blind. Right? Well, a person who's alive in this world, why he's encased in his bodysuit, the answer to this question has to be Aleim. Once a person is released from his bodysuit, then he'll have no question. So this was the roadmap, not the road trap. This is the roadmap of Jewish history till the end of time, which God is laying out to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us, and whenever a Jew suffers, God feels the pain of every Jew suffering, and he's with us all the time. But why he's doing it, he says, La'aleim, Shmi La'aleim, that is the mystery. But we do have the Haftacha that the Mashiach will come and all tzaras will end. And the Haftacha, the book of Isaiah, Bila Amavis Lanetzach, death will be Evelyn, death will be swallowed up forever. We have this promise from the book of Isaiah that at the end of time there will be Tchiyas HaMesim. People won't have to go through mourning, won't have to go, we'll already paid our dues, and we have a glorious future to look forward to. And we should be Zoicha to all of us to live and see the Mashiach Meheri Meinu Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Questions?
Douglas. Now it's your turn.
Now it's your turn, Douglas.
How would you describe God's attributes when you said because the elders fell behind, they can't go up on the mountain?
It's Mida Keneged Mida. They backed off. They have to back off now.
Would you call that vindictive?
No, it's not vindictive. See, we make a mistake. We think, Shmuel, that Mida Keneged Mida is vindictive. No. It's the tikkun. The elders will never know what they did, so we backed off, so what? The only way to make a tikkun is when you feel it happening to yourself. Now you backed off then, you didn't feel that you did anything wrong. Now you see, you're backing off, you can't come up to Shemayim to get the Torah. It's not a punishment, no. It's the tikkun, no, it's tikkun.
I call that vindictive. And no, I want to tell you something
else.
When I punish a child.
That's a childish way of looking at it, right, yo?
When I punish a child, I try to punish them in the way that they should feel what they
and
did.
And these are children?
We are God's children. Aren't we God's children?
So in other words, we should copy the Lord's attributes, right? And we should act that way. But apparently, our own didn't. Our own said, the Lord was vindictive. He wanted to prove to them something. I won't do it.
Right.
I will not. You copy the Lord.
Don't you?
As he is vindictive, I will not be vindictive.
Yes. What is the?
I will save them from this shame.
Right.
And I won't go up there.
Douglas makes a good point.
So by not.
That's a good point.
One of God's attributes. He was better than the law.
Allow me to answer. Douglas has a bomba kasha. It's a bomba kasha, Elliot. The answer is found in the Psalm for Yom Revi. What's the Psalm for Yom Revi? Kel Nekamos Hashem. Remember that song?
No.
Right. Nekama. That's God's department. That's not our department.
Wait a minute.
Kael Nekamos Hashem says lo tikkun.
Copy the Lord's attributes.
You have to, depends what? It says lo tikkun.
You never said
that. It says lo tikkun.
You never said that.
Huh?
You never said that. You never said that, Ephraim.
What?
You said as we have to copy the Lord's attributes, and one of them is vengeance.
But it says Kael Nekamos Hashem. Nekama belongs to him.
The Lord is also, it says the Lord is merciful.
But it says Lo Tikom.
It says
doesn't say Lo Tikom, the Lo Titor?
Where?
In the book of Ayikra, Pashas Kedoshim, right, Manny? It says Lo Tikom, the Lo Titor. Do not take revenge and do not bear a grudge. I, God, does take revenge. El Nekamos Hashem. Okay?
I'd rather reinterpret it than say God.
Well, King David says he takes it. El Nekamos Hashem, right? What? But it says, well, keep going. Huh?
I think God was talking to the shop about the elders, forbidding the elders to go up. But I don't think it's addictive. It's not addictive.
They should realize what their offense was. Otherwise, they won't know what they did. You can't make a tikkun. That's what Debbie said. That's what you said, right?
That in other words, you have to learn
that if you don't obey, if you don't obey, you're not going to obey.
This is why you won't do it again. Otherwise, he'll keep doing it.
So why did Aaron then shield them from this?
He wants them to reduce their share. But that's the
they
question.
Even know it all,
the Rambam says, the Rambam heard the book and asked the Kasha. The Rambam asked the Kasha, Manny, if, who makes a person sick? Who? Who makes a person sick? So how am I allowed to heal him? God wants him to be sick. The Rambam is asking this question. The Rambam is a doctor. How can I heal the guy? Am I not contradicting God's will? God made him sick. What right do I have to heal him? What? Well, what right do I have to go against God's will? God made him sick. Do I have a chutzpah to go against God's will? That's shtuyot. Why is it shtuyot? Yeah, but God made him sick, right? Aren't you going against God's will? God made him sick. God made him sick in order to give me the schus to heal him. That's what Rambam says. That's why God made him sick, to give me the mitzvah, the chesed of healing him. That's why God made him sick.
If there are no doctors around, and if there are no doctors around,
if there's no doctors around,
he died.
The effort itself is a
mitzvah. Being carried out today.
By healing him or letting him die? What's God's will?
In Haiti, God's will is being carried out. Because
so we shouldn't send any help. We shouldn't send any doctors.
You tell me?
They'll learn not to repeat the offense, right?
Did anybody tell the Germans what the Holocaust was? The Germans are punishing the Holocaust. Not enough. Before the Holocaust, the world was a lot. They say,
like his own.
You Germans,
you took your paper.
The Holocaust,
you have your paper. Okay. You have your paper.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we have a minion?
We have a minion.
All right, can you stay? We'll say Kaddish Rabbanan, okay? Leva Nishma Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman Ben.
שמעי לקוצ'יא בריחו, ואין עמי כל בחסר ושרסר, ושפחסר ונחמסר, דמיון בר מאבי מאמי. על ישראל, לא רבנן, ואו תמידי אוין, ואו כל תמידי סמידי אוין, ואו כמל עסקי מראי שדי בסר קדיש עדי, מדיבר עשר ועשר, יאלה הוין, אולה חיין, שלום הרב, אוכינו וחיסטו, לך למכן, מריחם זה נמי חברקונה, מתקודה בין בשמי או במרמי. יאי שלום הרב, אמין שמיה, וחיים עלינו, וכל ישראל במרמי. עושה שלום במימיו, הוא יעשה שלום עלינו, Well, call you Israel, Vimro Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
He says, I don't know God. Right. He's not in the directory of...
directory.
Right.